I'm Bex, and welcome to the Week Junior Show. Today, I'm joined by three of the team from the Week Junior, the magazine making sense of the world for 8 to 14-year-olds. We've got Kieran.
Hello.
Flora.
Hello.
And Stevie.
Hi.
Oh, welcome back, Stevie. Now, the new issue of the Week Junior magazine is packed with everything you need to know about the most important and fascinating things happening around the planet and beyond. Inside, you'll find out about the new Pixar film Luca, the latest on UK COVID restrictions, the fisherman who was swallowed by a whale but lived to tell the tale. I quite like that I had that rhymed. Plus loads more stuff as well. If you want to get your hands on a copy of the Week Junior, you can get a 6-week free trial by going to dennismags.co.uk/theweekjunior and using the code podcast. Now, on this week's episode of the Week Junior Show, we'll be talking about Thank a Teacher Day, the heroes on the new honours list, and the gorilla swapping Kent for the Congo. Plus, we'll have a debate all about putting up pictures of the Queen. But before all of that, given that we're going to be talking about the honours list, which everyday hero would you like to see get an actual honour from the actual Queen? Kieran, you can go first.
I got my invite through yesterday to get my COVID-19 vaccine done later this month. So for that reason and that reason alone, I would like to nominate everyone involved in the vaccine programme.
Oh, not only is that a really, really lovely nomination, you've also taken the idea that I had. So thanks a lot, Kieran.
You're very welcome.
Flora, how about you?
So I interviewed this week a boy called Finley Pringle for next week's magazine, and he is an environmental campaigner. And you might think, okay, there are quite a lot of environmental campaigners. How do you choose which one to nominate? But I just really admired Finley for his passion and his humility. He was really passionate about the cause and saying passion is the absolute key ingredient, and I agree with him.
All right, lovely. We can find out more about Finley next week then. And Stevie, how about you?
Well, in Science and Nature's issue this month, we are featuring an interview with a woman called Erica McAllister, and she's also known as the Fly Girl. And she's really cool, and she works at the Natural History Museum and has just loads of bugs around her. And she wants to highlight how important insects, particularly flies, are to planet Earth. So I think she's really great and would be brilliant being honoured by the Queen.
I would love to hear the Queen say something like, "Arise, Fly Girl." That would be amazing. That would be so good. Now, this was a really tricky one for me, but I don't know whether this works or not. Basically, there is somebody where I'm from in Hexham in Northumberland, and they have created an award ceremony called the Golden Gnomes, where they were accepting nominations for lockdown heroes. So if you had somebody in lockdown who'd been amazing, you would nominate somebody, and then they would wake up in the morning and find a golden gnome on their door or in their garden. And it's all very mysterious. Nobody knows who's actually created this, but it made a real sense of community spirit in the area. So I want to nominate mysterious nomination woman who I think doesn't have a name, but I just think it's a really cool thing to do. So that's my shoo-in, I reckon, for a Queen's Honours list. So I also want to find out what everybody's favourite fact is from this week. Kieran, what have you learnt?
I am sticking with the Queen for my fact, and that is that she's now met 13 of the last 14 US presidents, which is quite the feat. And the first president that she met was Harry Truman, which was way back in 1951.
This might not make the podcast, you might not know the answer, but who is the one she didn't meet?
I can tell you.
Can you?
Yeah, Lyndon Johnson.
Oh, great. Okay, lovely stuff. Thank you very much. That was a little swoop in there from Flora. Lovely. Flora, what have you learned this week, apart from teaching us about Lyndon Johnson and the Queen?
Well, I was learning about the meaning of the word solstice, so solstice is the longest day of the year, and it's coming up on the 21st of June. There's also one in winter for the shortest day of the year. And it's Latin for sun, sol, and stit, meaning still. And I just like the idea of twice a year, the sun standing still, taking stock. I think it's something very peaceful about that.
It's also quite poetic as well. Now, Stevie, what have you found out this week?
Well, I've been learning about tardigrades, which are microscopic creatures, and they're incredibly hardy. They're also the first known organisms to survive after being exposed to the vacuum of space.
Wow, what a great fact to come back to the podcast with. Well done, Stevie. That was awesome. Now, Kieran, I believe you've not been spending all your time finding out fantastic facts for the Week Junior show because you've been working on a new podcast as well called Mysteries of Science. What can you tell us about the latest episode?
The latest episode is possibly one of my favourites, Bex. It's all about King Tut's curse, which is this rumoured deadly spell that was accidentally released by archaeologists in the 20th century when they stumbled across the tomb of the boy king Tutankhamun in the Egyptian desert. And as ever, we've got lots of experts who help us investigate this mystery. Is the curse real? And we also look at all sorts of different curses, and one of our experts is someone who guards a real life curse in a British museum. So if you want to find out about that, you'll have to have a listen. You can find the podcast wherever you're listening to this. Just search for Mysteries of Science, and of course remember to follow or subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes as well. We've got some great ones coming up shortly as well.
Oh, brilliant. Sounds awesome. Thank you, Kieran. And I believe, Kieran, you're still working right here, right now, because you're going to help me out with this week's Real or Rubbish. Is that right?
That is right, Bex. I have a question for you before I begin.
Go on.
Do you like asparagus?
You know what? I do. Yes, I really do.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. So this story is going to be right up your street then.
Okay.
Because this is about the fact that an asparagus recipe has been included in the online version of the laws that are used to govern Belgium. So let's take a moment to take stock of this story.
What are you doing?
So a lawyer called Morgan G. Moeller has found the instructions for an asparagus gratin, which, as we know, is a dish of asparagus that is baked with cheese and cream. Delicious. And he found it in a law about how medicine and medical supplies are priced in Belgium. So it's an online library of laws, if you like, that you can have a search through to find out what the laws say. So he posted the section of the law online and joked that it proved how useful the law could be, that it even was telling you how to cook your asparagus. So what do you think, Bex? Is this true or is it a half-baked lie?
So let me get this right. He was just looking through the laws and then just plonked right in the middle of random laws was a recipe for asparagus gratin.
That is correct,
that's
yes.
Okay. Now, I know that law is quite boring, can be quite dull. So maybe whoever wrote it was like, I'm quite peckish. And they just got their stories mixed up and they got the kind of paperwork mixed up and then accidentally got put online. And or maybe Delia Smith or like Nigella Lawson or Jamie Oliver was in charge of these laws and thought they'd just squeeze in a little asparagus recipe. That could happen, right?
So you're suggesting that TV chef Delia Smith has been trying to interfere in Belgian government?
Wow, when you say it like that, not only does it sound ridiculous, it sounds like I could be slandering TV chefs everywhere. I don't know how that could have happened. I feel there could have been a mix-up with the maybe there was an internet server mix-up. Maybe the recipe websites got mixed up with the Belgian law websites. Maybe they have similar kind of usernames. I don't know, Kieran. I don't. But this seems ridiculous. Why would you put? Sorry, I'm on my high horse now. Why asparagus? Asparagus isn't necessarily like famous in Belgium, is it? Are they like French fries and chocolate, right?
not particularly famous, but I would say that asparagus is a crowd pleaser wherever you find it. So, you know, why not asparagus?
Do you work for the Asparagus Tourist Board?
I am on commission. Every time I say the word asparagus, I get a little bonus. So, yeah.
Right, well, I will think about that. I've got, my head is whirring like crazy at the thoughts with asparagus and law. So I have to consider that. I have to calm myself down. If you're listening and you've not read your copy of the magazine yet, feel free to make your guess before the end of the show and we can find out the answer together. So now it's time for our three most interesting stories from this week. Kieran, is it you again?
My goodness, I'm so sorry. This is just a monologue from me this week. And I'm going back to the Queen. So every year in June, to mark her birthday, and presumably mine as a fellow June baby, the Queen recognises people who have done outstanding things or who have made huge contributions to the world. And that list of people is known as the Queen's Birthday Honours List. And there are some really big names on this year's version, including the footballer Raheem Sterling, the author Lauren Child, and Professor Sarah Gilbert, who co-designed the Oxford AstraZeneca COVID-19 vaccine. And in total this year, 1,129 people were honoured. And a lot of them were recognised for the work that they'd done over the past year, helping people during the pandemic. So, of course, Professor Gilbert, as I mentioned, and Kate Bingham, who worked unpaid to lead the distribution of the COVID-19 vaccine across the UK. They were both made dames, which is a very high ranking honour to receive. And then Divya Chadha Manek, who helped develop the vaccine, was made an Officer of the Order of the British Empire, or an OBE for short.
So tell me, is it the actual Queen who decides who deserves an honour?
Yes, but there is a process before that. So anybody can nominate anybody else for an honour. And the nominations are then considered by a committee. And they pass on their suggestions to the Prime Minister and then the Queen, who gets to make the final decision. And each year the list includes awards that recognise lots of different types of work. So Raheem Sterling, for example, was made a member of the Order of the British Empire, or MBE, for his fight against racism in sport, while Lauren Child was recognised for her services to children's literature. And Bake Off judge Prue Leith, she was made a dame for her work in food, broadcasting and charity. So lots of different areas of recognition.
And does everybody who gets offered an honour actually accept it?
Not always, no. And the main reason for that, actually, is that many of the awards refer to the Empire. So as I was saying, you know, member of the Order of the British Empire for the MBE. And the word empire is a reference to a time in history when Britain and its empire ruled over many other countries. And some people say that this connection to the empire, which was involved in slavery, for example, should be changed. And there are campaigners who say that the E for empire should be changed to E for excellence instead. And then more people might like to accept the award, because some people have rejected their honours because they don't want to have a connection to the empire.
Next up, Flora, tell me, what have you been finding out about?
I've been finding out about Thank a Teacher Day. So on the 23rd of June, the UK celebrates National Thank a Teacher Day, which is a chance for everybody to show their gratitude to a teacher or any staff working at your school. So it could be a cleaner, a caretaker, maybe a teaching assistant or a head teacher, anyone who you think does a really good job and you want to say thank you to. And you can do that in your own way. You can do that in person, or maybe you could write a card, or you can send a special e-card online. So this is a card that's been designed by Alex Scheffler, who, as many of our readers will know, did the illustrations for the Gruffalo. So you can go to the website tinyurl.com/TWJ-thankyou. And there you can find the card and you can add your own personal note. And you can also keep it anonymous if you're a little bit shy about saying thank you.
So why is it important to say thank you?
I think it's important because basically it shows people that you appreciate what they're doing for you. And with teachers or school staff, it's kind of easy to think, oh, well, you know, it's their job, they're paid to do it, and you might not even like school that much, so you might not be that grateful to them. But if you think about how incredibly lucky we all are in the UK to have access to education, boys and girls, which is really not a given in many places in the world, and teachers who want you to learn, who work really hard to help you, and then we have the freedom to learn, I think there's a lot to be grateful for.
Good stuff there. Lovely stuff, thank you. And Stevie, tell me, what have you been finding out about this week?
So this is a really cute story. It's on the Animals and Environment page in this week's issue, and it's about a gorilla named Joshy. So this gorilla has embarked on a 4,000-mile trip from its home in Howlett's Wild Animal Park in Kent to the Lesio Luna Nature Reserve in the Republic of Congo, which is a country in Central Africa. So the 190-kilogram Western Lowland gorilla was part of a project to move it to save its species from extinction.
All right, that's pretty amazing. How do you move such a huge gorilla?
Well, that's a good question. So first, Joshy had to undergo a lot of checks by his vet before he was cleared to leave. Then he was placed in a specially designed crate, which had like lots of bedding and everything to keep him comfortable, before flying from Stansted Airport to Brazzaville in Congo. But during his journey, he had lots of root vegetables and juicy fruits to keep him happy while he was in the crate. But he also had his keeper with him as well, so he could keep calm, which was really nice.
Oh, that's really good. So what's going to happen to him now?
So Josh is going to spend a few months getting used to his new home, just in like a small area, before keepers at the reserve will like set him free. And there he will roam the forests with other gorillas of his species, and hopefully that will encourage them to mate and save the species. So the project, which was set up by the Aspinall Foundation, has already returned 70 Western Lowland gorillas, 8 black rhinos, 2 cheetahs, 159 langurs and gibbons, and 12 European bison back to the wild, which is really incredible.
That's incredible. What a great story. Lovely stuff. Thank you so much, guys. Now, also in the current issue is a review of the new book, Children of the Quicksands. It's about the adventure of a girl when she moved from the Nigerian capital of Lagos to a small village. And here's the author to tell us a little bit about herself.
Hi there, listeners of the Week Junior Show. My name is Efwa Traore, and I'm the author of Children of the Quicksands, which has been selected as Book of the Week in the current issue of the magazine. And I'm here to answer 2 very important questions. Firstly, do I like Marmite? Okay, before I answer this question, I would like to say that I really wanted to like Marmite. I tried it about 3 times. I had heard that it was actually invented by a German scientist, and since I'm half German and half Nigerian, in a way I felt I would have to like this dark sticky syrup that the British have in every shop. But after trying it 3 times, I gave up. Secondly, what was my favorite book growing up? My favorite book was actually a collection of books titled Tales From. I remember there were tales from Russia, tales from India, from Persia, England, and lots more. And each book contained wonderful myths and legends of faraway cultures and places. Reading them was like stepping into a whole new, fascinating world.
I mean, you have to kind of respect somebody's perseverance, trying Marmite just so many times, even when they don't like it. That is pretty impressive. Now it's time for the big debate. This week we're asking if people should hang portraits of the Queen. Who can tell me a bit more?
I can tell you a bit more about that. So this kind of links with what Kieran was saying about the empire, this story. So students at Magdalen College at the University of Oxford recently voted to remove a picture of the Queen that was hanging in their common room. So they removed it after a vote in which the majority thought the Queen represented Britain's colonial history. This refers to a period in history when Britain took over other countries around the world. And Britain was one of the main countries involved in the slave trade, when many people, mainly from Africa, were treated really terribly and often died as a result. Some say the Queen represents modern Britain and important values such as respecting others and equal rights.
All right, so I'm going to be challenging Flora and Kieran on this one. Flora will say why portraits of the Queen should be put up. Flora, you know the rules. You've got a minute. So whenever you're ready, take it away.
I reckon the Queen is one of the most underrated figures in our society today. And we need portraits of her on our walls to remind us of just how important she is. She's underrated because she's so discreet. She never says anything outrageous or controversial. She's never photographed looking ridiculous. But she is, to my mind, an incredible person. Despite being the most important person in the country, she's acted as a servant to the UK and 54 Commonwealth countries that she's head of for 70 years. She represents fundamental values like getting on with other countries and respecting other people, and I can't think of a better role model. And why shouldn't people hang a picture of her to remind them of that? I know it's not very cool to be proud of the Queen, our Queen, but I say cool Britannia. I don't know why I don't have a portrait of her already hanging on my walls, but I think I shall acquire one on this very day.
Oh, wow. That was really under time.
Well, it was 51 seconds.
But hey, look, Flora, you and I both know I'm used to you being like, you know, 1 minute 20.
I'm so making up for those.
Yeah, you're saving those seconds back again. Lovely stuff. All right, so now it's Kieran who is up against Flora. Kieran, whenever you're ready, go for it.
As Stevie says, the students here weren't judging the Queen personally, but for what she represents. And they felt that as the current representative of a long line of rulers, she is a connection to the historic parts of Britain that not everyone can feel proud of or should feel proud of. Things like slavery and colonialism, which is the term for one country taking over control in a different country and running it how they choose to run it. So for that reason, it's understandable the students didn't want the portrait anymore. But it's a wider point here that the students held a vote and they decided what they wanted to represent in their common room and what they didn't. And I think that's democracy, that's everyone having a say. And unlike the Queen, who wasn't elected by people, the portrait was, and it was decided that it should be put away. So of course, you can hang a portrait of the Queen, but you have to respect the views of other people as well, regardless of who it is that's being portrayed. So whether you agree with the Queen portrait or not, this was a fair decision.
Lovely stuff. All right, Stevie, what do you reckon?
Well, I think I'm going to agree with Kieran. I don't think it's an open and shut case. I think it's people can do whatever they want and it's up to them.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I don't have a picture of the Queen next to me, but if there was one next to me, I'd be like, all right, cool, that's the Queen. I wouldn't really mind. But I would be interested to know what listeners think of this one. So let us know by responding to the poll at theweekjunior.co.uk/polls or email hello@theweekjunior.co.uk with a video clip explaining what side of the debate you support and why. Now, last week on the podcast, we asked if villains are more interesting than heroes. And villains, well, they won by a mile. 87% of you said you preferred characters with a dark streak to them. So here are some of your comments.
It is clear that our listeners love a baddie. One Pop Jam user sent us the message, "Yes, I totally think villains are better than heroes because they are so cool and evil." Meanwhile, Phoebe left us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and said, "I think villains are more interesting than heroes because they bring the drama to the story. You always know what a superhero can do because they always save the day, but you never know what a villain can do."
One Pop Jam user slightly nuanced the argument and they said, "I think villains have better backstories than heroes, but I don't think they're better people." Another Pop Jammer said, "Heroes are heroic and are good people. On the other hand, villains are interesting and cunning, and you can't wait to see what they do next."
Where some people were a bit more conflicted, Otis emailed us to say his favourite characters are neither hero or villain. For instance, Zuko from Avatar The Last Airbender is a villain who goes on a great redemption arc.
Oh, wow. Okay, so listeners are really getting involved with this one. Remember, this is your chance to get heard. So if you want to hear your voice on the podcast, grab a grown-up and record a video telling us what you think of this week's debate. Then send it in to us at hello@theweekjunior.co.uk and we could play it out on next week's show. Now, before we go, of course, we have to reveal the answer to today's real or rubbish story. So, Kieran, can you remind me about it again, please?
This week's story is that a lawyer discovered an online asparagus recipe contained within the digital version of the laws used to govern the country of Belgium.
I genuinely don't know what to do with this one because I so badly want it to be true. I also, I won't lie to you, kind of want the recipe. But surely somebody out there in Belgium is rereading and reading and double-checking everything before they put these laws out there. Or maybe they're just so strict with their asparagus laws, they have to have the one true recipe to cook with. And it is delicious. Asparagus, I know a lot of people don't like it, but I like it. Maybe maybe Belgians like it just as much as I do. Maybe they felt it was important. It would be gratin. I'm trying to do something with that. Not working. I'm going to say it's real, and I purely because I really want it to be. That's why I'm saying it's real.
That pun was really gratin. That do? That work? No? Okay.
Yeah, that's much better. Yes, thank you.
Okay, so you're saying it's real. Can I get a drum roll, please?
Yes.
It's real. You've got it right, Vex. Yes. It was not a Belgian passion for asparagus. It's thought that someone made a mistake and copied in the recipe instead of a legal document. Perhaps they were looking up that night's dinner as they were meant to be working. But the mistake has been removed, so Bex, you won't be able to find the recipe, sadly. And not only has it been removed from the online database, they've also checked to make sure that it will not appear in the official printed version of the law either.
No other recipes lurking in corners of Belgian law. Good to know, although it has made me quite peckish. That's it for the Week Junior show this week. Remember, you can drop us a comment on PopJam at The Week Junior or email hello@theweekjunior.co.uk. And don't forget to rate, review and subscribe or follow us wherever it is you get your podcast. Bye!
If you want to get your hands on a copy of The Week Junior magazine, we're offering a 6-week free trial. To get yours, head over to dennismags.co.uk/theweekjunior and use the code PODCAST.